Well, hey everyone. As we finish this series, our nation is waiting for final results that more than likely will be handled with the courts. We've had an election that has been, in some cases, a lot of the pollsters were really surprised. Others expected this to be tumultuous and really difficult. And those that expected that have not been surprised. We're a seriously divided nation. Regardless of what the outcome is and who finally wins the presidential election, we are a nation divided, roughly 50-50. And that means that you've got, at this case, the half of the people that voted will be losers, and the other half will be considered winners. And there'll be all kind of hand-wringing and celebrating, depending on which side you're on. You know, the nature of modern politics is all too often to get people emotionally involved and against something. The research is that you don't raise much money or interest in a positive campaign. You gain a lot more traction, you gain a lot more money, and a lot more vigorous support by being against and having enemies. Positive campaigns just don't fly like the negative ones do. And no matter what the final outcome, there's going to be a lot of anger. There's going to be people that just say, give up on the process. There'll be people that gloat, people that complain. There'll be and the cycle's going to be campaigning will start immediately for the next cycle. You know, there's no real prospect of this changing anytime soon. I'm not at all saying that politics and government and being involved in that is not important, but they're not the most important things. And there are serious limitations. Candidates and parties come and go. They're not perfect. If you just do a very simple analysis of the platforms this year, you're going to see that as you look at the two major parties, they have some things, some values. Both of them have some values that are good, that the Bible would say are spot on. They're going to have some that are wrong. And there are going to be areas where there's things that God would say are important that have been ignored. Let me just give you just a couple of things to think about here when you think about the parties. We did this last week, but respect and treatment of the poor, which party has the best handle on that? Sexual morality based on God's design and what he says is ethical sexual behavior. Racial equality, justice without favoritism, compassion for immigrants, individual responsibility to contribute to the common good, to care for themselves, but also care for others. Sanctity of life, and that's both from the womb to the tomb, sanctity of all life. You compare the different platforms and you're going to find that parties vary. Some of them, they get it really good. Some of them miss out on it. I also want to say this too, and I said it last week and I'll say it again, that I know good people who land in different places after they've weighed the issues. And the reason is no party is the Christian party. No party is the God party. And so people land in different places, some Democratic, some Republican, some Green, some Libertarian, some write in what they believe are the best candidates. And some will choose at times to not vote because they cannot, with a clear conscience, support one or the other. Christians end up in this same situation, and we have responsibilities. But I want to tell you that as followers of Christ right now, we can know God's marching orders for you and me. We can know what he wants us to pursue. And so I'm going to spend some time today for us to look at this and to be as clear and careful as we can be. And I hope you'll join with me in this. You know, Abraham Lincoln was asked one time if God was on his side. And his response was this. He goes, "Sir, I'm not concerned about whether God is on my side. I am much more concerned about whether I'm on his side, because his side is always right. You and I can know if we're on God's side, and that's what this message today is focused on. So join with me as we walk through this together, and please stay with me during the whole time. I hope you won't give up. If you and I follow Jesus, if we are really following him, we have marching orders right now. We've been given a mission that is always one that supersedes the current political climate. It supersedes government, it supersedes economy, all the social issues. These things can be important, I understand that, but they're not the most important. Listen to 2 Timothy 2 says this, as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself become tied up in worldly affairs, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Doesn't say worldly affairs aren't important, but it's saying as a soldier, I have priorities. And God's kingdom, God's commands always take precedent over whatever's going on around me. It's easy to get distracted. I would say that my big concern this year, one of my big concerns is the number of people that I know, people that are followers of Jesus that have been really distracted because their primary diet, their primary inputs have been news, media, sides. They've fallen into something where if you compare how much time they spend meditating on God's word and how much time they have in the different news outlets, it doesn't even compare. So I've talked to many that have kind of slipped away from their regular practice of reading the Bible and praying every day, but boy, they do not miss newscasts. They do not miss Facebook posts, their own and others. And it's so easy, if you're not careful, your opinions will shift based on what you marinate on or what you meditate on. So today I want to give us a chance to recalibrate and remember our God-given priorities that are appropriate and applicable right this minute. His kingdom should be our priority, not our nation. Look, I love America. I am grateful to be an American citizen, but I am much more grateful to be part of God's kingdom, and that needs to be my priority. And it's from him that I get my marching orders on how to respond right now in the climate we're in. So let me give you some things for us to focus on as Jesus followers. And if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, these are the things Jesus says are really, really important for us. And if you accept him, these are the things that he's going to ask you to focus on too. The first thing is you and I need to be, we need to be devoted to build unity within Jesus' church. It's the first priority that we need to have in mind. Jesus shows us this in his prayers right before he was arrested and executed. He goes off alone to pray, and we have a record of what he prayed. This is an excerpt from John chapter 17, and it is really remarkable. You can tell when someone's about to die what's really important to them. Listen to what he says, and this is also in the take-home sheet, and I hope you will get this and spend some time reading, meditating, and praying it through. Jesus says to his Father, "Now I am departing from this world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are." It starts off, Jesus wants his church, those that claim to be his followers, to be united. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. If you ever want to find out where disunity, where breakdowns in families and in churches happen, you'll find there's an enemy, a liar that does everything he can to divide. Jesus calls us to be unified. Make them holy by your truth. We'll look at this word holy in a minute. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. You know, the primary thing you and I need to feed on is God's word, because it calibrates us with what God says is right and real and true. And if we stray away from that, we cannot be holy, we cannot be pleasing to him. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so that they can be made holy by your truth. Again, truth is God's word. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. There's something about our unity, our closeness, that communicates to the world that God's in this thing. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. There is something about Jesus' church and us doing everything we can to build unity that is essential to our heritage, to the mandate we've been given, and as a message to a watching world. Unity and harmony and love within his church is Jesus' strong desire, and he made that very, very clear. It's a command for us to work hard at building this unity within his church. Listen to 1 Corinthians 1. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. This is not a matter of uniformity. It doesn't mean we all think exactly the same, except, in fact, the word harmony, it means differences that don't collide, but they work together. We need to be united in one mind and in thought and purpose. And that means that we come to God's word. God's word is our constitution and bylaws. It's what guides us. It is what we build our lives on. And that gives us the basis for unity. Sure, there are going to be times when you and I are off base, where it's really hard to love people. And some of you are going to say, look, the church is imperfect because it's made up of people that don't always get it. Well, that's true. And if you want a perfect church, don't you or me join it. We would screw it up. Of course, this has always been that way, that there are differences. We need to be careful that we don't let the differences divide us, though. Listen to Romans 14. This is from the Message translation, and I love this. It says, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. I'm going to read that again. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. Do you know there are people that are genuine followers of Christ that don't see things the same way you do? They have differences in where they've landed politically. They have different types of music that they, I mean, all kind of differences. Differences do not have to divide. He goes on to say, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions, but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. Unity is not uniformity. There needs to be room for differences. We need to offer space and time for all of us to grow and develop and change. It's just like living in a family where the adults, hopefully the adults are the mature ones, and they help the children grow and develop. Over time, those children can help the adults grow and develop. Different points of view are fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just when we start dividing and becoming divisive. An illustration, it's a simple one, but my dad and I, we loved each other dearly, but we had different views in certain arenas. And one of them would be politics, but that wasn't it. We had differences. Dad was very strong, and he had experiences growing up that shaped some of his beliefs and some of his values, some of his perspective. I have my own. And some of it's generational, some of it was context, some of it he's from the South, I'm from the North. I mean, there are a variety of things, but we still loved each other. And we didn't allow the differences to divide us. And over time, what would happen is Dad and I both, as we're growing in our faith and wrestling with what the Bible says, sometimes we would say in our differences, so what does the Bible say about this? And we would study it together and wrestle with it. And over time, both of us held on to some views we had and others we changed. There was a shifting, a maturing, a growing in it. That's the way it's supposed to be, that we grow and develop. But we've got to create environments where it's allowed to do that, where we don't shoot each other or we don't write people off because they don't automatically land where we are. We may be wrong. They may be wrong. We all need to grow. And I'm sure some of you are going to say, yeah, but your family. You and your dad, your family, that's why you could do it. Exactly. The moment you and I become followers of Jesus, we are now brothers and sisters. We have a heavenly Father that wants us to work hard at getting along. Not to compromise truth, of course not, but to never compromise love either. It's something we've got to work hard at and be careful with. And I hate some of the things I've seen where Christian brothers and sisters are berating each other and writing each other off because they don't agree. Any of you that are partners at New Hope, I want to remind you of our partnership agreement. We have a statement. We didn't make this up, but we've endorsed it. And it says this. It says, in the essentials, we agree with each other. In the non-essentials, we accept each other. And in all issues, we love each other. In the essentials, you know, and I'll ask a group whenever we do the partnership class, what are the essentials? And it's surprising what few things come up. Here are the essentials of our faith. One is that we were all created in God's image. Every person, every man and woman, child on planet Earth was created in God's image. That means we both have, there's a beauty about us because we're created in his image, but there's also a brokenness, a sin nature that we have because we violated what God created us for. And therefore, we need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior. There is no other way to be made right with God except through Jesus, who came, he died, he sacrificed his life for us, and he offers us forgiveness. Accepting Jesus is how I become part of God's family. No one earns it. They get it that way. The Bible now becomes the guide for our faith and our life. It's an essential that we learn and grow in because God has allowed us to see what his opinion is, what his views are, what's right and what's wrong. And Jesus' church is really important too. The church is Jesus' family. And that the another thing that we know is that for lives to genuinely change from the inside out, the way for that to happen is to be made right with their Creator God, and that comes through Jesus Christ. These are essentials. If you find some others, let me know. But these are the essentials of our faith. That's what determines if someone's a follower or not. Now, they're non-essentials, all kind of non-essentials. What kind of school do your kids go to? Can you drink alcohol or not? You know, their economy, education, tastes and stuff. There are a lot of these things that are non-essentials. One of those is politics and political affiliation. There is nothing in the Bible that ever says an essential is based on your politics. But you know what? If we're not careful, what we do is we elevate the things that are important to us and we begin treating them as if they are essential. And we begin judging people and writing them off based on that. In the essentials, we agree. In the non-essentials, we accept. And in all issues, we choose to love each other. If we're going to be Jesus' church, this is what we do. Second thing that we need to look at. The first one is building unity within the church and making that a priority. The second is pursuing peace with all people. It's not optional. It's a clear command with a blessing. Listen to this. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. You want to follow your Heavenly Father? Do everything you can to build peace with others, even your enemies. It's not based on personality or circumstances. It's based on a devotion to God and his will and his desires that you and I pursue peace with all. Listen to this. Hebrews 12:14, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. The word that's translated here, work at, it means to follow hard, to be aggressive in this. It means that I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to take the initiative to build peace with those around me, whether they think like me or not. Whether they hold the same values as me or not, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm not going to wait for them. I'm going to do everything I can to work hard at being a peacemaker. And it ties in here, pursuing peace, working aggressively to build peace with everyone around me to the degree I can. It ties that in with being holy. And this idea of holy means that the moment I become a follower of Jesus, my life is set apart for His use. It's special now. I don't get to use my life in just any old way. I don't get to use my time, my talents, my abilities, my resources just for me. I'm now set apart for God's use. I was going through, this is a silver knife. Becky got this from her mother. It's got this fancy cloth to keep it polished. And I mean, this is a valuable tool, and it's used for special occasions. You would never see me using this to open a paint can or to chip away at some caulk in a window. And the reason is because it's worth more than that. It is valuable, and it's set apart for special use. You and I, the moment we become followers of Jesus, we've been set apart for God's use. And so we need to decide that more important than anything else is I want to honor Him, I want to please Him. And He has said this thing about pursuing peace with all people, believers and non-believers. I need to do everything I can to build peace with them, because there's a purpose for my life that goes beyond my taste and my interest. And that leads to this last point I want to make. You and I, as followers of Christ, we need to search for common ground to help people find Jesus. You know, this idea of common ground, I really like this. It's a statement. I did a little research on it, and it's been used in a variety of places. Some of you live in townhome complexes or maybe neighborhoods, and you have common areas. It's an area where everyone gets to use. They have their own areas, but then this is the common areas for everyone. If you've been on a college campus and you have the commons, the idea here is there's an overlap among different differences in people. There's an overlap where we have something in common, where we don't disagree, and where we can find a basis or a platform where we can begin working through some of our differences. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 9, 22 and 23 says. This was a guiding verse for us when we started New Hope Church. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in His blessings. One of my big concerns is I have seen a few. I don't do Facebook or other media things. It doesn't help me to do that. But I've seen some things people have posted that are so divisive. Instead of finding common ground, and building bridges to the relationships with others, they're building barriers and walls. Instead of common ground, it's more of a minefield. Some of you post things and you feel quite vindicated in being able to do it. It's your opinion and you should have the right to express your opinion. I'm going to tell you this. You and I, as followers of Jesus, we don't have the right to express our opinion indiscriminately. We have a right to follow Jesus and to be really careful about that, and to be willing to give up some of our rights to do what God says is right. Political nature today is to find differences and division and to pursue an agenda that someone else has laid out for us. God's agenda for you and me is to build relationships and to find common ground and build these bridges of relationships with everybody around us. Some people have been upset because New Hope doesn't endorse parties or candidates. As long as I'm here, we will not. I will not tell you who I vote for. And I want to tell you one simple reason why. I'm not worried about what you think about me, but I am really concerned that by making that a priority, by saying, well, this is who I vote for, this is who you should vote for, that I'm going to alienate people unnecessarily. I think people are wise enough, and if we teach them what the Bible says about the different issues and values and all that, they can make a wise decision. You don't need someone to tell you. But I don't want to unnecessarily burn bridges of relationships by doing something that's unnecessary. I want you to hear about Jesus. And I think voting is important. Yes, Becky and I voted. But I think it's unnecessarily alienating when you and I have to broadcast that, and immediately we've created a barrier for someone else that might end up being interested in Jesus. But because of what we voted for and how we talk about it and how we categorize other people, we've alienated in a way that violates this command to find common ground with everyone so that we can share the good news about Jesus. Because I'll tell you, government doesn't change someone's heart. Policies do not change someone's thinking. Laws don't change people. Jesus Christ is the one that can make someone a new person. And we have the we understand that as followers of Jesus. We get it. And we get to show others by our unity, by pursuing peace, and by finding common ground. And if that makes you feel, well, gee, I need to be able to express my opinion. That's one of my rights. Well, I'm going to tell you, as a follower of Jesus, as part of his kingdom, you subordinate your rights to do what God says is right. Introducing people to Jesus is the ultimate way for them and for any group of people to ever find lasting, ultimate change. I am so glad that God didn't treat us like so often we treat others. If he was looking for people that agreed with him, we would have never made it into his kingdom. If he was looking for people that had it together, if he was looking for people that were perfect, it wouldn't have happened. He accepted us, and try to remember back when you accepted Jesus, what were the things in your life that were screwed up? What were the things that you were wrong about, and the values you had that were so messed up? And yet he invites you in, he accepts you, and he helps rebuild your life from the ground up. I hope and I pray that New Hope Church will be a beacon of light and hope and truth in a broken community and a broken nation. I hope we will listen to God and that we will be willing to evaluate what comes out of our mouth or what we type, what we post, and say, is this helping build unity within Jesus Church? And if not, I'm not going to do it. Is this helping to create peace with others? And if not, I'm not going to do it. And if it's not creating common ground and finding a way to build bridges to relationships, if it's not doing that, I will hold off. I'm going to tell you, we have an opportunity in front of us. Right now, the church is poised to be a difference maker in our country. But we've got to be people that have that difference living in us before we're able to offer anything. There's a world that is watching. And if we can show them something good and real and God-honoring, what a privilege that would be. So we're going to pray together. My good friend, Chad Mansky, is going to lead us. Chad.
Greetings, New Hope family. Will you bow your heads with me and pray? Dear Lord, although Election Day has passed, there's still a lot of stress about an uncertain result. And even when we get a result, there'll be some that will be happy and some that will be sad. Lord, help us to endeavor to move forward as Christians who have both a responsibility and an opportunity to wear your example on our sleeve, on our hearts, and in our conduct. We pray for our nation's leaders, whether they be in the White House, whether they be in the House or the Senate, all of our lawmakers, whether they be first responders or medical workers. Allow us to walk confidently in Jesus' path and through his teachings, and that we alleviate the stress and burden in knowing that Jesus has our back. Lord, we pray all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.